الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected brothers, as usual, whenever there is a nikah on a Jummah at this masjid, then we repeat a few hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or some verses of the Quran Sharif, or some sayings of the awliya with regards to nikah. In the limited time, of course, we cannot cover the whole subject, but just one or two things with regards to this nikah. As I have mentioned many times before, that whenever Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declares anything as his way of life, when he says that it is my sunnat, it means it is my way of life. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had sent him to this world as a blessing for all the worlds. Allah sent him to this world as a blessing for all the worlds. The Quran Sharif declares him to be Rahmatul Lil Alameen. And we have no doubt that every word of the Quran Sharif is haq, it is the truth. And especially when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is declaring that he is Rahmatul Lil Alameen, then how can any person have the slightest doubt? But then to be Rahmatul Lil Alameen, a mercy to all the worlds, will mean that he has to be a mercy for the rich, for the poor, for the black, for the white, for those living in China, living in Burma, living in America, living in Africa, wherever the person may be living, of whatever standard his life may be, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way of life, his example, has to be rahmat for all. So nikah, when he is declaring that it is his way of life, and he wants the ummah to undertake this sunnat of his, and when he has given so much of guidelines, he has given so much of instruction, so much of direction, so much of nasihat. Nasihat to those young people who are of marriageable age and who have the ability to get married. Then he advises them that they should get married, because marriage will protect their eyes from lustful glances. Of course, the person will have to make an effort for that. But it is intended that this person has a wife, now why must he cast evil glances at other people's wives and sisters and daughters? And so many other benefits. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam advised those parents who have young girls and young daughters, or those brothers who are the guardians of their sisters, that if somebody comes with a proposal and you are happy and satisfied with this person's character, then get your daughter married. إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيزٌ. If you are not going to give your daughter in marriage to that person with whose character you are satisfied, that the boy is of good character or reasonably good character, he has got the love of deen in his heart, he has got obedience to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life to some extent, if you are happy with that, then don't delay that marriage, accept that proposal. Don't wait for a person to come with a big bank balance or with a Rolls Royce or with some other kind of fortune, then you will give the daughter in marriage. If the person who has come, he is a very rich person, he's got a Rolls Royce, he's got a big bank balance, and he also has got good character together with that wealth, then there is definitely no harm. That wealth is not going to be harmful for that person. So it's not the wealth which is cursed, it is only how you acquire the wealth and how you use the wealth. Allah Ta'ala did not say that everybody must become poor and there must be equality, that all must become poor. No. Allah has put a share of the poor into the wealth of the rich, but provided the person has acquired the wealth in the halal way, in the proper way, there has been no fraud, there has been no cheating, there has been no gambling, there's no interest taking, then that wealth is a blessing for this person. So if the person has come and he's got a good character also and he's got wealth also, then it's a bonus. Get your daughter married to that person. But if the person has come, he's got plenty of wealth, but he's got no character, he's got drug habit, he's got drink habit, he's a womanizer, but then just because of that bank balance, if you are going to give your daughter, then in another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعٍ لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسْبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَاسْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ, which the gist of which is that normally marriages take place, or a woman is given in marriage for four, or a woman is taken in marriage for four reasons. That either the person, that woman, has got beauty. So the person is marrying her for her beauty. Now beauty is something that is not long lasting. If the person just get diarrhea for a few days, that beauty is gone. That means the love of that person was for something else. In the same way, I have mentioned in one of my majlises and talks, that even if it is Miss South Africa, the cameras are chasing behind her, and the media is behind her, the television crew is behind her, and she is invited at the opening of all shopping complexes and everything else. But on the way, if she has to meet up with an accident, she was just crowned Miss South Africa, and on the way she meets up with an accident, and she gets third degree burn, her face is disfigured, and her body is burned, then where will all those ashiks and lovers of hers go after that? If that was true love, then where are they all gone? Why don't they invite her after that to open that shopping complex? Why don't they invite her for all the other programs? And why don't the camera crews chase her after that? So just for the color of the skin, if a person is just undertaking marriage, then it's not something that is concrete. Yes, if the woman has got beauty also, she's got wealth also, she's got a good family status and position, and she's got deen, then this person is a very fortunate person. We are not saying that you must not look for those things, that the person must just go and marry any ugly woman even if he doesn't like her. We are not saying that. But what I am saying is that the basis of that marriage must not be those things which are not concrete and firm. A young person who was involved with a young girl from standard 8 level for 2 years at the high school and then 3 years at the university. They courted and visited and toured, and with the compliments of their parents. The parents too were quite happy. They were not uncomfortable because this young boy had indicated his willingness to marry this girl at the end of his university education. And she too had said that as soon as I'm finished with my university education, we both will then marry. So lots of things happened in those 5 years. When the time came for the marriage, just before that they had an argument, and suddenly the boy broke that engagement which took place just a little before that. That engagement which took place, he broke that engagement. He called it off. When the boy was asked that, why do you want to do this? He says, no, because she's got a very dominating personality. For 5 years, where was that dominating personality? Just when marriage was about to take place, he realizes that she has a dominating personality. So it shows that this is not true love. It is infatuation. The people are going crazy and mad. They are experiencing sleepless nights, restlessness, anxiety, worries. So many of them then go on to drugs. So many of them then go on to so many other things to intoxicate themselves. Now this girl is devastated. She says, I'm devastated. I'm heartbroken. I'd rather take my life. I'd rather commit suicide. This is what this person has done to me. Brothers, who is at fault there? Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when this proposal comes from a person that whom you are happy with, then don't delay it. Otherwise, there will be widespread dissension on earth. There will be chaos on earth. There will be so many problems arising in the community that you will not be able to solve it. Then we will be shedding tears of blood too. It's not going to be of any help. I mentioned many times that whatever incident I say here, I don't mention names unless those people themselves tell to somebody or the parents or the family come to know about it. But just the other day, a young girl comes who is a teacher at one of the schools. She comes with a young boy from the school. and says that there is no other way but that we have to marry because I'm already expecting the child of the student of the school. There are so many, we don't want to talk about these things in the masjid, but what I am trying to tell you is this, that how long are we going to still wait? We say my child must finish his university education. He must graduate, he must qualify, he must get a good bank balance and he must own a big property, then I will get him married. Or my daughter must complete her education, then this, then that, after that I will get her married. But long before that, that iman is already destroyed. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has given so much of direction, so much of nasihat, with such feeling, such love, such care for the ummah. Nobody could be more loving to the ummah than Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He wants to see everybody lead a pure, clean, healthy life, a life of happiness, a life of joy, a life of satisfaction. That outwardly, whatever the conditions may be, as I have mentioned many, many times, that the awliya-e kiram, if we have to read the history, or read the history of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam and the sahabas, through what trials and what tests and what hardship and what torture and what persecution they went. But even in those situations, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them some inner contentment and satisfaction and happiness, that it was like the flower blooming in the midst of thorns. So if we are going to have Allah on our side, if we are going to have Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam on our side, because we are trying to follow, we are trying to obey, we are trying to listen, we are trying to do what they want us to do, then Allah ta'ala will overlook our shortcomings and He will give us inside our hearts a kind of diamond, a kind of pearl, a kind of gem that people won't understand. That in sickness, in pain, in poverty, the person can be living in a hut, he can be just living on 2 slices of bread, but the person will have some kind of inner satisfaction and contentment. So this nikah also, Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if they come and put this proposal, they don't delay it. Just as we find so much of money for the education, we find so much of money for everything else, what will it cost? A little few hundred rands more to accommodate that young boy and girl and make sure that at least they live an Islamic life. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has given direction with regards to who you should marry, how you should marry, when you should marry, everything. If you have to discuss that, it requires days and days. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he says that this is my sunnah, it is my way of life, then it is extremely easy and extremely simple. The reason why a father cannot get his 2 sons married at the same time, or within a month or two of each other, or 2 daughters married, is because straight away our minds have a block. That the cooks must be available, the hall must be available, the designers of the dresses must be available, and we must have enough money to feed the thousands that we want to feed. Now when we are going to think in that line, then straight away it is going to be a problem. It's not going to be easy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he made it so easy and so simple, because in reality nikah is as much as what you have just seen now. That the boy has put a proposal already for some girl, and that proposal has been accepted. Now in the presence of some witnesses, the marriage is taking place, a small mehr is fixed, and that's the end of the nikah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have told the angels to come with trays from the heavens for the marriage of his daughter. Allah ta'ala could have sent from paradise gold and silver for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes and keeps quiet. He is ashamed to even ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tells him, probably you came for my daughter Hazrat Fatima. He was informed by wahi that this is what he has come for. He said, yes. After that, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, of course it's a long story, but to cut it short, that nikah was undertaken in with such simplicity that we cannot find an example of that in history. Such simplicity. And then the send-off also, with Ayman, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam just sends her to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu's house. So informal, so easy, so pleasant, so wonderful. And look at the family relationship after that. How much of unity, how much of love for each other, how much of respect for each other. Each one prepared to sacrifice everything for the other. Did we ever hear of a big fight between father-in-law and daughter-in-law? Did we ever hear of a big fight between son-in-law and father-in-law? Everything was conducted simply, easily, beautifully according to Sharia. And then the most important thing was that they were fulfilling each other's rights. That was the main thing. That whenever there is a dispute, whenever there's an argument, whenever there's a fight and a quarrel, of which our society abounds now, that we don't have a single family left which can say that we are free of these arguments and fights and disputes. whenever there is a fight or a quarrel or an argument, behind it, someone has not fulfilled the right of the other. Someone has done injustice to the other person. So Islam is not only namaz, only zakat, only roza, only hajj. We can make hajj upon hajj, we can go for umrah upon umrah. We can make nafil, chasht and ishraq. But there are other duties, other responsibilities, other obligations. Obligations towards our wives, towards our children, towards our families. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has given so much of detail with regards to the rights of the wives and rights of the husbands. He has balanced it. He has not gone on to any extreme. And after mentioning those rights, which we do not have the time to go into, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after that, encourages overlooking the shortcomings and the weakness and the fault. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, how stern and firm he was when it came to Islam and Iman. One person went to his house to complain about his wife. When he went there from outside the door, he could hear that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, his wife herself is raising her voice against Hazrat Umar. And Hazrat Umar is quiet, he's not telling her anything. So he went away from there saying that what is he going to listen to my complaint when here his own wife is raising her voice. So afterwards when he met Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said that this is what I had come for and this is what I observed. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala says she washes my clothes, she looks after my children, she cares for my needs, and she protects me from zina and from evil. So what is there if I have to tolerate some harsh word from her? So one is the rights, but I always say that don't go by the book of rights. This is our problem. That whenever it comes to husband and wife or anyone else in any matter, then everybody is saying, what is my right? What is my right? But where is the corresponding obligation with that right? We also have some obligation. If every person fulfills his side of the contract, then there can never ever be a dispute. So all these quarrels arise because we are not fulfilling our side of the contract. And afterwards, if there is some injustice from the other side, or if there is some harsh word from the wife's side, or she has raised a voice, or she has been a little arrogant, then we should think that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving us forgiveness of our sins and elevating our position by means of this wife. Hazrat Mirza Jana Jan Rahmatullah Alayhi, a great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when people used to shake his hands and kiss his hands and they say that you are such a great wali of Allah ta'ala, so he said, all the stages I got because of the tolerance that I exercised over the hardship and the problems that my wife gives me. These things we won't tell to the wives, otherwise they'll give hell to the husbands. But we are telling you here so that you become tolerant. To the wives we will tell them you must respect the husbands, you must fulfill their rights. But as far as the husbands are concerned, they must read those hadiths. That how did our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam treat his wives? With what kindness he treated them? How generous he was? How he shared the work of the home? He shared the workload. He was not proud and arrogant in any way. He did not feel that he will be humiliating himself and embarrassing himself if he had to take the broom and sweep the house someday. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was extremely tolerant. And in fact, the gist of another hadith, because of the time restraint, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that I prefer that the wives be dominant over me, and I be lenient, I be generous, I be kind, than the other way around. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given so much of virtues of this nikah. But what is the reason that today we cannot find even a few marriages in which we say the ship is sailing smoothly? Because those days when nikahs used to take place, they should say, until death do us part. Through rainy or through cloudy weather, you and I, we sail together. They used to share everything. All their problems, difficulties, the wife was a friend. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hadith is indeed very, very correct. That after the taqwa of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, after the fear of Allah, and I've mentioned many times that this fear of Allah should be born out of the love for Allah. If a person is generous and kind towards somebody, then we sing his praises all our life. Allah ta'ala has been so kind upon us. If he had wished, then the moment we saw evil, he could have made us blind. The moment we heard evil, he could have made us deaf. The moment we spoke evil, he could have made us dumb. The moment we touched a woman that we were not supposed to touch, he could have caused us our hands to go paralyze. The moment we walked towards haram, to the cinema, to the theater, or to all these film shows and all these gambling dens, Allah Ta'ala could have paralyzed us. But He is so forgiving, so compassionate, so merciful, so overlooking, that Allah who has blessed us with our sight, our hearing, our speech, our heart, our liver, our lungs and everything functioning. So how much of love we should have for that Allah? It is only right that we should have great love for Allah. And then what is love then? Have we ever heard of a person true in his love? If he says, I really love so and so, and all his life what he is doing is causing problems for his beloved, or he is plotting against his beloved, or whatever the beloved wants or desires and wishes, then he makes sure that he does everything against the beloved's wishes. Then can that person be a true lover? So we claim that we have got love for Allah, and we should as Muslims have love for Allah because of all the great gifts that He has showered upon us. So then what should be our condition? That we should be obedient to Him and Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teachings and commands. Because if we are going to do that, then nobody else is going to benefit but ourselves. That home in which the husband and wife will lead a life according to Quran and Sunnah, there will be harmony, there will be peace. The husband will look forward to going into that home. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hadith will become so correct and true, and he will experience it. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that after taqwa, something which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses a person, a great gift that He gives a person, is a good wife. The best thing that he can acquire after taqwa. And what are the sifats and the virtues and the qualities of that wife? That when he looks at her, it pleases him. When he looks at her, she pleases him. And nazara ilayha sarratu, in nazara ilayha sarratu, wa in amara, and when he has to order her to do something, then she fulfills, she goes out of her way to fulfill whatever he says. If he takes a qasam on something, she fulfills that qasam. And when he is missing, when he's gone out, when he's on a journey, then she takes care of herself too, and his property and his belongings too. But then when will that wife be like that, that when she looks at the husband, she gets pleased? Or when the husband looks at her, he will get pleased? When will the wife be obedient? When we are going to be first obedient to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Remember, one wali of Allah Ta'ala said that whenever I disobeyed Allah, the slightest, I saw the disobedience in my horse. That before, when I used to ride the horse, it used to ride smoothly. But if I was disobedient to my Allah, I saw the effect of my disobedience even in my horse, that it begins to disobey me. So if the horse, the animal, can begin to disobey a person with the will of Allah, because everything is happening from above, then what are the children? What are the wives? What are the friends? Today we say the children don't want to obey us. Our wives don't want to obey us. Our family members don't want to listen to us. Everybody is against us. Why is everybody against us? Because we are against Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this marriage is a wonderful institution. And especially in these times of fitna, if a person is of marriageable age and somehow reasonably easily the person can be made to marry, then it should not be delayed, because we are going to experience, and we are already experiencing such problems, that if all our adults and all our intelligent ones get together and try to resolve also, they will not be able to resolve. Because the solution lies to going back to the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So this nikah which has taken place also, we make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, make it a marriage of barakat and blessing. May Allah ta'ala unite their hearts in love and affection for each other. May Allah ta'ala unite the families also. And may Allah ta'ala unite them on the principles and basis of deen. And may it be the means of good, pious children coming into this world. Because this is what we want out of these marriages. If we are going to be tolerant, there is, I mentioned in my last nikah talk also, that there is no other way. All those people who think that by means of a whip or a stick, or by swearing or by booting and kicking and lashing the wife, we will get her to become obedient, they are living in a fool's world. There is no other solution, especially in these times. If we are going to read out all the hadiths of how obedient the wife should be to the husband, then we must not think that they are just going to become obedient like that. They also know a lot of other hadiths. So we will have to be tolerant, we will have to be accommodating, we will have to be loving, sharing and caring. We will have to overlook shortcomings and weakness. We will have to both of them will have to learn the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and implement the teachings in our lives and get rid from our lives and from our homes of all the filth that is entering, because that is the major cause of all problems today. young, fit, healthy husbands. Now they want their wives to perform just like those women that they see on the television screens. Now that woman has already turned 50, 60. Now what is it? How can she behave like that? So these are the causes. We can look for the causes outside. We are just searching here and there in darkness. We will have to look for the causes and the solution in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and that is where it lies. Look at our grandparents, so many of them. 60 years of marriage, 50 years of marriage, 80 years of marriage, and they lived happily. They had their little bit of arguments and little bit of quarrels, but they never ever thought of breaking that marriage, or they never ended up in the divorce courts. But since all these sins became widespread in our community, and we became lax in our deen and in the fulfillment of the rights of people, then all these problems have arisen. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me first of all the tawfiq to practice, and give all of us this, and the ummah of Rasul Pak Sallam, to make amal on his teaching, so that we become the beneficiaries of Allah ta'ala's rahmat, mercy, kindness, forgiveness in this world, in the qabr, and in the akhirat. Wa akhirat da'wana alhamdulillah.